95.9 WATD, South Shore's Morning News. I'm Rob Hackelaw, along with Beth Foster. And it's time now for our Pause and Clause segment. And I knew if we waited just a little bit, I had faith that we could get in touch with Dr. Kira Berg. I did mention, of course, she is a veterinary specialist. She is part of the Zoo Exotics Veterinary Specialist, Cape Cod Veterinary Specialist. And from time to time, there are emergencies that they need to take care of. And obviously, doing a radio interview is not priority. And I understand. So I said, let's give Dr. Kira Berg a few more minutes and then we'll try her. And guess what? She's available now. So
success.
We're going to bring her on the program now. Paws and Claws, sponsored by the Clean Team. Even the best pets can't clean up their own mess. Call the Clean Team to take care of fur, furniture, paw tracks, tiles, and all sorts of catastrophes and doggy dilemmas. Visit thecleanteam.net. Thecleanteam.net. Dr. Kira Berg, thank you so much for joining us now. I know it's been a busy morning for you, and I appreciate you coming on at this time.
No, of course. I appreciate your patience. Again, I always feel terrible when there's emergencies, but, you know, got to take care of the animal. And, again, just appreciate that we were able to adjust the time for the the segment today.
Absolutely.
Yes. Emergencies anytime. Take precedent.
No,
for
that's
sure.
What I said. And I meant it, and I said that on the air a few minutes ago. I said Dr. Kira Berg is taking care of an emergency, and believe me, yeah, she would be here. So, any event, thank you for being with us. Again, as I mentioned, Dr. Kira Berg, once a month we check in with a great team at Cape Cod Veterinary Specialists, CapeCodVetSpecialists.com. And this month we're talking about parrots, and we wanted to talk about parrots and their care. And maybe about, you know, what is or is not the correct procedure for that care. So fill us in on when it comes to parrots. What do we need to know?
Yeah, so parrots are very intelligent species. They have the intelligence of a 4-year-old or a 6-year-old, depending on the memory level that's being tested or the cognitive level. So they're very, very intelligent creatures, and they're very long-lived. So I think a lot of people think of, for example, a small budgie, maybe only living anywhere between 6 and 9 years, but they can actually live between 15 and 20 years. A cockatiel, which is, again, a smaller bird, can live up to 30. Green-cheeked conures can live up to 30. And then you have macaws, amazons, and cockatoos that are much longer lived in African grays. So those birds can live well into their 60s, and cockatoos have been documented to live into their 80s and even 100.
Wow, so think about that.
That's very,
have a lifelong bird.
I know.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's like a very intimate relationship.
No, it is. And I always wonder, you know, because chances are at some point, unless, you know, you have the bird at a very young age, there are chances, many chances, where the bird could outlast you. What happens, Dr. Berg?
Correct.
Have you seen that in cases, you know, how does a bird adjust to someone that's been their caretaker for, you know, 50, 60 years or whatever? How do they, can they be rehomed? What is the process?
Yeah, so that's an excellent question. It can be really hard sometimes, and very sad for these birds because, you know, if you think about a human losing their partner for 50 to 60 years, these birds are basically going through that same type of grief and that loss. And it can be very dramatic and very, very sad for them. It can also be very traumatic for them. So some birds will start to pluck and they'll start to have behavior problems. Some owners, I think a lot of owners generally understand when they're getting to the point that their bird may outlive them. And so a lot of the times birds are written into wills, or children or neighbors start to take care of those birds in the event that something happens, so that the transition to a different owner is a little bit easier for that bird. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of times, though, where they end up either being placed in a rescue care, and then again, because rescues are trying to get these birds to new homes, it's hard, right? It's like a shelter. It's really hard for people to be able to give as much care as they need to every individual in a shelter or a rescue situation. And then sometimes behaviors develop, and then it can be really hard to actually rehome them.
Wow, that's so intricate. I actually have heard of people, you know, giving their birds away in their wills because they know their bird will outlive them. And yeah, I think a nice transitionary team, maybe like a secondhand person who knows and loves the bird would be the best solution. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's still so sad for that main owner to not be on the earth anymore, especially with their high level of intelligence.
No, that is a tough thing. That's one of those, you know, when you have a something that's very long-lived, you know, and it can be an interesting situation. I know one of the things we also wanted to get in about beaks being trimmed. Is this something that we have to do, or what is the best practice there?
Yeah, so totally different part of parrot care would be beak trim. So I know that, you know, some birds are more prone to having overgrown beak depending on whether or not they're the kind of bird that's going to basically wear down the beak their own on perching or other material that's provided by the owner. There are situations where beak trims overgrow because of diseases, for example. So there is a correlation between liver disease and overgrowth of the beak. So it's really important that whenever a bird owner is seeing their pet with an overgrown beak, not just to go in for grooming, but to also recognize that to better understand why this beak is starting to overgrow, there may need to be maybe some blood work or at least a physical exam and going through at home care. What does that animal eat? What kind of light is that animal exposed to? So we can better understand why is this beak starting to overgrow. Sometimes it can overgrow because of trauma. So if a bird, you know, some of the household dangers that we worry about, especially with flighted birds, which, by the way, I always promote for good emotional and psychological welfare. You can have fans, doors, dogs and cats. So there are those kinds of trauma that can potentially dislocate or break or fracture the jaw. And then for that reason, then the beak does not, they don't touch appropriately. And so then sometimes you can have beak overgrowth because of trauma.
That makes sense. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but I heard this before. For if you bring a bird in for beak trimming, is it the tool is like a big nail file almost, right?
No.
Oh, no?
Well,
okay.
So it's a little different. So we never want, so some, previously it used to be done with a nail clipper, but we never want to do that because that can actually fracture the beak and cause these little splinters in the beak, and that's very, very painful. So instead what we use is called a Dremel tool. So I guess it's kind of like a nail file, but it's an automatic nail file. And it's a smaller thing, so it allows us to have that fine motor control and that fine detail so we can reshape the beak to more appropriate size and shape.
And it's important to go to a trusted specialist in this, right?
I would. I mean, I think the biggest thing is that when we have overgrowth of the beak, again, we want to figure out why it's happening. My goal is to never trim a beak in my life if I can get away with it, right? Because I think that once we start trimming beaks, then the beak needs to be trimmed repeatedly. But if we can try to avoid beak overgrowth to the best of our ability, again, there are things like trauma and infection and, you know, even congenital malformations that I didn't even talk about that can lead to beak overgrowth. So those are things we can't avoid, but those would be situations that typically, because beaks grow like nails, they're going to need to be trimmed routinely. I do think that having someone who is very, very comfortable and experienced with beak trims is going to be the most important. And typically I find, you know, with my experience, I think that a specialist, whether it's myself or another avian specialist, would be best to be able to not only do that beak trim appropriately, but also be able to look at the bird as a whole and say, okay, what are kind of the next steps to make sure, is there something underlying and systemic that we can try to mitigate that may help with that beak growth?
Now, Dr. Carrie Berg, when it comes to parrot care, obviously there is a lot. We talked about a lengthy life as well. There's a lot of other responsibilities for people out there. What are some of the things you should be thinking about before you get a parrot or decide to have a parrot? What are some things that you would recommend Because again, it's important to, I think, know what you're going into. And sometimes you know, we just sometimes go with our mood and not necessarily our head. So talk about that.
Yeah. So definitely remembering that they can all have very, very long lifespans is the most important. This is not just a 5-year or 10-year commitment. This could be a lifelong commitment, mm-hmm. or at least a significant portion of your life. The other thing would be that these birds, because they are highly intelligent, they need a lot of interaction, right? They're not going to be sleeping during the day. They want to be foraging and looking for food and grooming and interacting with other, you know, creatures. And so they're very, very social and they're very highly intelligent. So we as humans have to have that time to be able to make sure that intellectually we're stimulating them and providing them the enrichment that they need. Their diet is also very particular. So it's not just giving them seeds. It's giving them pellets and giving them fresh veggies. And are we going to just place it in a bowl or are we going to have it in a little a foraging toy for them? So they have to really work for that. And so there's a lot of these things that we don't think of, right? And birds are always out in the wild. What are they exposed to? The sun. But when we bring them inside, do they have UVB? That's really important for them, just like it is for us, right? During the winter time, we don't get a lot of UVB, and a lot of people, especially in New England, get seasonal affective, and it's treated with a UVB light.
Right.
So, yeah. So well, birds also need UVB.
Right. Lots of important stuff there. And Dr. Kira Berg, I know we're unfortunately out of time, but I appreciate you coming on and at least explaining a bit about parrots this month and kind of giving a focus on the importance of their care and just some of the responsibilities for us, if you're considering it, to really give it that full thought. And I think that kind of puts it into perspective. Zoo Exotics Veterinary Specialist, Dr. Kira Berg, Cape Cod Veterinary Specialist. We have them on once a month, CapeCodVetSpecialist.com.
Yeah, that was very interesting. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Berg.
Thank you. Of course. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Take care.